We'll kick off with the Human Rights Law Centre put out a release that the Albanese government is set to abandon thousands with Australian visas in conflict zones. It says that as Parliament is poised to pass new laws giving the Minister for Home Affairs the power to prevent temporary visa holders from entering the country, the Migration Amendment 2026 Measures No. 1 Act 2026 aims to stop people from places including Iran and Lebanon from travelling to Australia to take shelter from war. The new law could immediately affect up to 61,000 people in the Middle East region who already hold valid visas to travel to Australia or who may already be in transit. The Department of Home Affairs has confirmed that 7,200 Iranian people are likely to be the first to have their visas ceased under the new powers. The minister has the power to extend the six-month entry bans indefinitely. The new laws represent a further dismantling of Australia's refugee protection program, with boat turnbacks and mandatory offshore detention already making it near impossible for people to travel to Australia to seek safety. The Albanese government is effectively preventing nearly 10,000 people from Iran and Lebanon from entering Australia at the same time that Australia commits military personnel and assets to the Middle East.
Yeah, this coming in light of US and Israeli airstrikes pounding Iran for the 14th day. It's now 2 weeks since the initial bombing started with the, must be reminded, the bombing of an all-girls school.
Killing, we're talking about primary school children here.
Yeah, killing over 160 primary school students that were just going to school and the staff members involved in what is called a double tap strike. So they waited 40 minutes before the initial hit, and then they hit the first responders as well 40 minutes later.
And if you didn't catch it on the ABC, the 7:30 report, they were talking to the Israeli ambassador to Australia, and they were asking him what he was talking, what this was all about. And they said, "Oh, you know, with in Iran, you just can't tell. They're just not transparent." And therefore, it's okay. We can drop bombs on primary schools.
Exactly right. And this is reading from Dropside. A series of heavy airstrikes hit areas in and around Tehran on Friday, and blasts were heard in several neighborhoods. One strike hit near a large rally in the capital, where thousands gathered for the annual Jerusalem Day or Quds Day demonstration, a state-organized rally in support of Palestinians. The rally took place despite the Israeli military issuing an earlier warning on its Farsi language Twitter account for people to evacuate. The airstrike hit the area of Ferdowsi Square, just down the street from the heart of the rally. Iran's state-owned press TV reported that shrapnel killed one person, and top government officials attended the demonstration, including the head of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, and the head of the country's judiciary. At this count, there's at least 1,500 people have been killed and almost 20,000 people injured in the US-Israeli attacks on Iran since the war began on February the 28th.
And I'll have to say that it's quite clear that many people don't actually support this war. It was reported that a recent survey in America has shown that the general population, there was only 34% of people that were surveyed have a support this war. This is put into the context of the public support of the Afghanistan war, which is, you know, equally weird. But there was, that was at 90%, while the attack on Iraq was 70%. So this is, if you look at the concept of one-third, two-thirds, we're talking about an imbalance of support that should actually cause rifts in the American society. On that same note, last night I was actually quite appalled by a news report on the ABC News that quite clearly is a report to shore up support for this US-Israeli war on Iran. Appalling use of the death of Nepalese guest workers in the UAE from Iranian missiles to beat a drum of support for the US-Israeli war on Iran. Appalling because these are the same outlets, media outlets and countries that assiduously ignored the death rate amongst Nepalese workers on the FIFA World Cup stadiums when workers were dying of dehydration. I just find it, the double standards, appalling, absolutely. And they're quite clearly massaging emotional feedback from the Australian population to be anti-Iranian, when in actual fact this is an illegal war.
Yeah, that's been the whole push with this, you know, save the FIFA, save the soccer players, and then they, you know, took five, Tony Burke's there, you know, taking nice photos, they'll leave the rest of the team to go back if they were so concerned. But speaking of double standards, the US temporarily lifts sanctions on Russian oil already at sea. The Trump administration announced on Thursday that it will temporarily allow shipments of Russian oil already at sea to reach global buyers as part of its efforts to stabilize surging energy prices. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said that the exemption in place until April 11th could see roughly 130 million barrels go into the market and help curb the soaring prices of Brent crude. And German Chancellor Friedrich Merz on Friday criticized the US decisions to ease sanctions on Russian oil, saying that six members of the G7 expressed a very clear view that this is not the right signal to send, Merz. So the capitalist class is at war more than ever.
Oh, there you go. You might have caught up with the fact that two activists, a man and a woman, were arrested for using the phrase "from the river to the sea" at a rally outside Queensland's parliament on Wednesday as they protested against new laws that are being put in place. Two phrases are now considered to be jailable. One of them is "from the river to the sea" and the other is "intifada."
Globalising.
Intifada. And with a potential 2-year jail term being attached, which is just a bizarre concept when you think about the practicalities of keeping thousands of people in jail for saying two phrases, potentially. It was a pretty extraordinary display from the Queensland Police, said Greens MP Michael Berkman, who was a witness at the rally. I think the arrest yesterday has all the hallmarks of an authoritarian police state, and the police there were clearly all too happy to act as the thought police on behalf of the LNP state government. The Students for Palestine Queensland held a press conference on Friday morning regarding this. William Sims from the group, University of Queensland Union ethnocultural officer, said there were more cops at the rally than I've ever seen at a student protest. There were riot cops. They came ready to arrest people. We won't be lectured on hate and racism from the Liberal Party, who have spent years whipping up racism towards my people, Indigenous people, and towards Muslims and refugees. Ella Guthridge said the arrests show the intention of the laws is clear: to silence opposition to our government's foreign policy. They want to silence criticism at the same time as our government is supporting Trump's illegal war in the Middle East. But on a positive note, you may not know this because I just picked it up last night, kneecap rapper Liam O'Hahn, I don't even know how to say it, better known as Mo Chara, spoke out after it was confirmed he will not face a new terror trial after judges at the High Court in England rejected a Crown Prosecution Service's appeal against the decision to throw out the case, which is bloody good. It's funny, you know, I can't say his erst name, but in my history, one of my relatives came to Australia in probably during the famine, and the only language she could speak at that time was Urs, which I found fascinating. She had to learn English once she arrived here. Anyway, by the by. There's other things that have turned up quite Oh, on the same subject, there was a fairly terrible attack by a right winger in Ballarat at the end of a you know, at the Ramadan final. They have a big celebration, and it's called an iftar.
Yeah,
iftar, yeah. And shocking. There was anyway, you know, this person was really aggressive and was having a go at the people, making the kids cry, and people were feeling incredibly threatened by this person. They were pretty underwhelmed by the response by the police when they went to talk to them about it.
Yeah, the ABC reports that as Federal Home Minister Tony Burke says, he will speak with the Australian Federal Police about an alleged attack on a Muslim iftar dinner in Ballarat. Community leaders say that they are disappointed by the response from authorities so far after their community gathering was gatecrashed by a man who declared himself right-wing and allegedly started punching guests, shouting racial death threats and intimidating children. The ABC spoke with the victims of the attack, who said they were traumatised and worried about a new age of Islamophobia. He said police, Mr. Burke condemned the man's behaviour and said police would continue to look into the incident. People saying, quote, people who go in to shout abuse at people and intimidate people and use dehumanising language against people for observing their faith, don't pretend you're patriotic. Pretty light words, we could say, considering the violence
of
the event.
2 years for a slogan?
Yeah.
In Queensland?
Yeah. And some harsh words, maybe, for someone who actively went in and abused congregation members.
We've only got a few minutes to continue with our headlines because there's so many, but you might notice that the Tenants Victoria have put out shocking new research has exposed the reality of racial discrimination in Victoria's rental market, with 69% of those surveyed reporting direct experiences of racism when they were trying to secure housing. The study, conducted by a team of University of Melbourne researchers in partnership with Tenants Victoria, reveals that renters face discrimination, especially when applying for a rental. Some 61% of respondents denied housing or treated less favourably due to their racial or ethnic background, with significant harms associated with these experiences. When a mother and her children are driving around homeless for 2 months because agents won't even return her calls, we have a system in crisis. The research found that most discrimination came from estate agents and property managers, 60% in this sample, with participants reporting being told to go back to your own country, being rejected based solely on their names, and being selectively denied entry during an inspection. What bad people. Incredibly bad. It's so bad. But on the other hand, RAFU went to short-term... There was a conference of short-term lease holders, like B&B people, you know. And it was held recently. I've just got to find it. Must be on the other side of this, because it relates to the same thing. NAM, this week on March the 11th and 12th, Strive 2026 Australia will be holding a conference in NAM. This conference celebrates, promotes and helps support the greed and blatant gouging that the short-term rental industry participates in and supports, according to RAFU. The conference has no interest in the provision of housing as a human right. Instead, its only interest is in using homes to line pockets and for the greedy. With workshops like turning a good STR, short-term rentals business, into a scalable, valuable asset. Disgustingly, the conference discusses the use of AI to run Airbnb portfolios, an inhuman travesty using primitive and reasonably less language models to decide to get housing, and who doesn't should never be thought that even crosses the human mind, yet it's the forefront of this conference. In NAM alone, there are 24,000 Airbnb listed for rent. Of these, 72.4% or 17,389 are considered to be whole houses or apartments. This means that there are 17,389 less houses available for Melbournians to actually live in. 30,660 Victorians are without a home at the last census, and 65,000 Victorians are still waiting for public housing. It goes on to talk about the experience of places in the country where in some areas locals are completely thrown out of the housing market because all houses are available only for short-term lease because, of course, their locations are the sort of locations that people want to take holidays in.
Yeah, there's a map of the amount of Airbnb locations that are listed. Currently, you could look wherever you'd like. I'll try find it to put it in the show notes. But it is incredibly telling of especially coastal areas where people are. There's no hope if you actually live and work in that town.
Yep, no way. And Rafu is calling for regulation. Victoria, believe it or not, has no proper regulation of short-term stays, and it's actually becoming a major problem, or it is a major problem.
Is that Rahu, yeah?
Yeah, Rahu. Yeah. That's a renters and
housing union.
And you can find out more of about what the campaign is by going on online. And just before we leave, it's the findings of the National Anti-Corruption Commission's robo-debt investigation will be devastating to victims and their loved ones, according to ACOS. The NACC found two public servants engaged in inverted commas, serious corrupt conduct, but will not refer them for criminal prosecution. Four others, including former Prime Minister Scott Morrison and former Secretary Catherine Campbell, were found to not have engaged in corrupt conduct. Of course, the Boswellers get their minions to do what they say, off with their head. Off with their head. And of course,
No one gets charged.
Nobody gets charged, and people died, blood on their hands.